I'm joined now by one of the economic experts in Canada who is a co-founder of an Ottawa company, Global Economics Limited. It's actually global in its perspective, looking at public finance, tax policy, labor markets, trade, economic development. And Dr. Grady is the author of a new report just out that looks at the costs of the family reunification program under which new Canadian families are able to bring in parents and, in some cases, grandparents. And while we are in this country worrying about whether we're going to be able to sustain health care and old age security for the aging baby boomers who already live in Canada, we're still admitting thousands of parents and grandparents, new Canadians, who will require, in total, about $4 billion per year in health care, according to Dr. Grady. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good, thank you, and thanks for joining us. I know you're on vacation, so I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
The costs already at $4 billion, you estimate, and if we sustain the current levels of immigration?
That only is looking at the health costs. There's also the costs from old age security pensions as well, and from welfare that have to be taken into account. If you take everything into account, the parent and grandparents program since 87 to 2010, the costs are around $6 billion. And given the likely applications between now and 2020 and the backlog, if all those people are brought in, you'll double that to $12 billion a year.
By 2020?
By 2020, yeah, which is a very large amount of money, even in relation to the tremendous amount of money we already spend on health care and pensions.
So the Conservative government says it is reducing the number of people who are coming in under this sponsorship application for parents and grandparents, and will do so over the next 24 months. Is that going to be enough to...
That's a bit of a misconception. What the Conservative government has done is they've raised the target for the number of parents and grandparents brought in from 15,500 per year to 25,000. So they've actually increased the number of parents and grandparents being brought in per year to 9,500. What they have done, though, is they put a 24-month pause on new applications. That doesn't mean that they're not going to eventually accept these applications. It just means for the next 24 months, they're going to work on the backlog, the 165,000 backlog.
You say that the whole objective of family reunification, the altruistic objective of making sure families were complete, grandparents and parents were able to join their established immigrant families in Canada, is a relic of the past. Explain that, please.
Well, the reason I think it's a relic of the past is that in the old days when immigrants would come to Canada, they would really leave their families behind. And given the state of communications and transportation in those days, they wouldn't be able to communicate with them. They wouldn't ever see them again. Whereas now, because of modern transportation and communications, they can call their relatives on the telephone. They can Skype them. They can see them on Skype. They can visit them. They can have them come to visit them here in Canada and to see their grandchildren. And, Canadians travel all over the world, but it's very unusual for Canadians when they go anywhere abroad to bring their parents and grandparents along.
So as you look at these costs, $4 billion for health care alone, $6 billion when you include health and welfare, doubling to $12 billion by 2020, obviously, you're coming to the conclusion we have to stop this reunification.
Yeah. I think that one of the justifications for the family program is that it helps the new immigrants to integrate into the Canadian labor market because it provides them with child care arrangements. And the problem with that as an argument is that the new immigrants themselves are not successfully integrating into the Canadian labor market, that they're only earning 60 to 70 cents on the dollar. They're not paying in enough taxes to even cover their own social and health benefits. So that arguing that in order to keep getting more, to keep attracting more and more immigrants, we need to bring their parents and grandparents in is really verging on insanity.
You point out that for those of us who have trouble breaking down figures like $4 billion and $6 billion and eventually $20 billion for the cost of health and welfare for the parents and grandparents, you break it down into an individual family, and you come to a total of a fiscal benefit to some families of over $1 million. Explain that,
that's
please.
No, you know, not every family would get four parents and grandparents in, but you know, it's possible. It's possible, and there's no reason why they can't under the current regulations. So that's a tremendous benefit, the $1.4 million if you bring in four of your parents and grandparents, which is not out of the question.
So is it your view that the timing is right? I mean, the Conservatives are saying, well, we're going to consult with Canadians on where we should go with the parent and grandparent immigration policies over the next 2 years, that we have this sort of pause in effect. Is it your view that the time is right for them to bring an end to this program?
I think the time is never right to bring an end to the program, because the vast majority of Canadians are relatively ignorant of the high cost of these programs. They're fed the bill of goods by the government that immigration is necessary in order to enable the government to pay for our social and health program because of the aging of the Canadian population. And the groups that are most have it most at stake are, of course, the immigrants that can get these huge subsidies, can bring their parents and grandparents over here, and can enable them to qualify for guaranteed income supplements, for social assistance, and for health care. It's in their advantage. So you have a relatively small group that has a big financial stake in the continuation of these programs, and they're located in urban areas where both parties have a large stake in winning ridings in order to become the government in the next election. So I'm very skeptical about whether or not the government will ever deal with this issue, unless the broader Canadian public really wakes up to the high cost involved.
Well, one of the reasons you wrote the report, clearly. I appreciate you joining us this morning, Patrick Grady.
Okay, Steve. Thanks very much. It's a pleasure.